Let's take a Bible this morning, go over the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 4. We started a series of messages maybe about a month ago. I started preaching on the sins of a nation, and we preached on abortion. And listen, abortion should never in that be named, period. And certainly should not be named in that in a Bible-believing church. I talked to a friend of mine sometime after I preached that message, and I was just telling him what I had preached, and he said, "You wouldn't believe it." He said, when we started going to the church that we're at, he said a young lady in that church had been found with child by a young man in that church, and said her family took her and had an abortion. Now, what a sorry state. Listen, it wasn't that preacher's fault, because I know what he preaches, but what a sorry state of that family. And he told me, he said, that young lady and that still has psychological and mental problems over that. And I'd say, yes, sir. I'd say that she did, amen. And God is against that. It does not matter what our government says. God is against abortion today. Amen. We looked at that. We looked at drunkenness, the last message that we preached. And God is against that. Amen. We know that. The Bible said that wine is a mocker and strong drink is a raging, and he that is deceived thereby is not wise. And so we know and that the Christian, the saved person, should stay away from liquor and alcohol. Let's stand to our feet this morning as we read out of Jeremiah chapter 4. And we're going to preach on the sins of a nation and look at the destruction of the family and of the home. If you don't think that our homes are in trouble today, you're crippled too high for crutches, friend. And you need to understand some things this morning about what Satan is up to, just not out in the world, but in the church. Jeremiah chapter 4, if thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him. And in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. You see what brought God's fury? It was their evil doings. Declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the defense cities. Set up the standard towards Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. The lion is come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He is gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy city shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. Listen, God said, judgment is coming. It's not going to be stayed up. For this, gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you and that for just another opportunity to preach your word. And God, we just pray while we preach that you would touch and help this morning, clear our mind and our thoughts and guard our mind. Lord, keep the devil at bay, bind him up, and keep him away from this service, and keep him away and that from my mind. And God, we pray this morning, face somebody here that's lost, that does not know you. I pray they'd get saved today before it's too late. Lord, before you come back, you're soon to come. And Lord, we do thank you for that, but I pray everybody in this service is ready and that to go. And if they're not ready, that they'll be ready by the end of meeting. Now, God, as we preach, I pray that we'd be very plain. Lord, that you'd give us plainness of speech. And Lord, that we would be very timely in our message this morning. And God, I pray that you'd just not only let it go into our ears, but into our heart. And Lord, that it would make a difference in our life, make a difference in this church, make a difference in this place around us today. God, that it would help folk and that to draw nigh and that unto you. We love you and we thank you. Would you please preach. Help us while we preach. For we certainly need a touch from heaven. And we'll give the glory for it all for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and pray. Amen. And amen. As we look in the scripture right here, the Lord is wanting Judah and Israel and that to return unto him. He said, put away your abomination. And he says, you swear and that unto me. He said, you swear that I live. You say, well, what is God trying to say there in verse 2? The problem that he had with the nation of Israel. If you go to Jeremiah 12 sometimes and look in verse 16, and the Bible said, and it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people to swear by my name, the Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. And what has happened here, God is saying they're going to have to return and that unto me and swear by me and not by Baal. They were swearing that Baal liveth and that Baal was their God, but God wanted them to repent and draw nigh unto him. But I want to look this morning as God is saying, put away that abomination, and he's saying, and that draw nigh unto me, preaching on the sins of a nation. We find the destruction of the family. Listen, if you look at Hollywood, they'll tell you how to run your home. They'll tell you how it ought to work. They'll tell you what they think ought to happen. But can I tell you that they're turned upside down? Hollywood has no business in your home nor in mine, especially telling us how to run our home. Amen. You ought to be hollering as loud as you can. Here's what God says about how I am supposed to run my home. Hey, can I tell you today, friend, that I'm not supposed to run your home. You are supposed to run your home. Say amen right there. Hey, it's my job to give you what the scripture says and you to take it and then apply it in your home. Amen. But Satan is working overtime and that to destroy the home. Hey, did you know that in 1960, that 88% of the children in the United States lived in a two-parent home. In 2016, this number was actually higher than what I thought it was going to be. That 69% of children lived in a two-parent home. Now, I don't mean that those two parents were married, but at least they were living in a two-parent home. That's a difference of 19%. Listen, I want you to understand something, that Satan is assaulting the family on every turn, on every avenue, in every direction that he can. Say, why are you so wound up about the family? Because the family makes up everything today. Hey, listen, this church is made up of families today. And you have to understand that. This world revolves on families, amen. And that's what God has instituted. Number one today, I'll not get done with this today. If I do, we're going to be here for a long time. But we may just get through this first point. Now let me say this. If you've been around long enough, I'm not going to say anything that you've not ever heard me say before. But I want you to get this and I want you to understand it. That first of all, number one, that the Lord ordained the family and the home. The federal government did not ordain the family and the home. God ordained the family. I was sitting in my study looking over this and I thought to myself, man, you know what? God ordained the family before he ever called Abraham to make Israel. God had already ordained the family. Hey, did you know before God instituted the church over in the New Testament, God had already ordained the family. Take your Bible and go to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 2. Like I say, now it ain't going to be nothing new for some of you, but just sit back and enjoy the message. Amen. I hope you can enjoy it today. Amen. Genesis chapter 2. God help us now. Genesis chapter 2. God has brought all the animals to Adam. And Adam has named them in verse 20. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to the beast of the field. Well, imagine how smart Adam was. Think about that for just a second. God brought him all the animals and said, Adam, what do you want to name this thing? Reckon how he brought that whale over there to him. reckon why he named it a skunk or a porcupine a porcupine. I mean, how did he get them names? You say, preacher, Adam done all that, friend. But I want you to look at the end of verse 20. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto Adam. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and the wife, and were not ashamed. Listen, God performed the first wedding ceremony there with Adam and Eve. God put them together. Out of the dust of the ground, he created man. And out of man's rib, he created Eve and made a helpmeet and that for Adam. Now, ladies, this don't make you second class, but you are a helpmeet and that to your husband. Amen. And that's what you ought to be. You ought to be a help and that unto him. My wife is a great help. I don't know if I'd still be pastoring today if I did not have the wife that I have. She has been a great help to me. Amen. I can say that. I know. I listen, but he said these two are to become one. Now when you get married, you may not necessarily look like each other. Say amen right there. But I tell you what, you do begin to think, you should, I begin to at least think a little bit alike every now and again. Amen. You ought to at least have the same desire and that for the home. Listen, God seen Adam and Eve so much as one person. It said in Genesis 5, male and female created he them and blessed them. You know, God blesses marriage. God loves marriage. I'll deal with that here in a minute. But God loves marriage. And blessed them and called their name Adam. You catch that, don't you? God called their name Adam. I'm Mr. Latham and she's Miss Latham. Right?
Amen.
Amen. We're one. And called their name Adam in the day when they were created. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 13 that marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. He said marriage is honorable in all. He loves marriage. He honors it. He says marriage is a good thing. It's honorable to do that. I like being married. I'll be honest with you, I like spending time with my wife. A lot of men out there say, man, I just don't like spending time. Hey, you ought to get right with God and get right with your wife. Amen. And maybe your wife needs to get right too. Amen. You say, well, if she'd get right, I'd get right. Well, won't you try that first and see what happens? You are supposed to be the head of your home.
Amen.
Amen. I'll deal with that after a while. So everybody's okay now. But he said marriage is honorable and all in the bed undefiled. But then he deals with the whoremongers and the adulterers. Now listen, marriage is to be between a man and a woman. Now I'm going to deal with the sodomites later on in their own sin. But listen, God never intended, does not intend, is against in that sodomy, homosexuality, whatever you want to call it. God is against it. God's against it. Guess who else is against it? I'm against it. Amen. You ought to be against it. And hey, that has been one of the ruination of our home. And I'll be honest with you, the news media wants you to think that everybody's for it, but I'm not sold on it yet. Amen. I don't care what they tell me. Do you? I better quit. I don't believe everything they tell me. Amen. I mean, they do have an agenda, and if you don't think so, friend, you're crazy. They do have an agenda, and it is the ruination of our nation today.
Amen.
You say, why would they want to do that? I have no idea, other than Satan is running things. You need to understand that today. But he said marriage is honorable and all. Hey, can I tell you that the Lord commends marriage? Proverbs 18 said, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." Amen. When we found a wife, we found not only a good thing, but obtained favor of God. Now, ain't that something? He said, "You found a good thing." He said there was no helpmeet for Adam. So he made him one. Why? To give him a good thing. And not only that, but it obtained favor from God. You want favor in your life? Find a wife, man. Find a wife that loves God. You love God. Serve God. Find a wife that'll love God and want to serve God. I had a preacher friend. He was pastoring a church when he was single. And he told me, he said, I asked God about getting married. And he said, I was down in a meeting one time. And he said, I looked over. And there she stood in worship and had her hand up in the air. And he said, that's the girl I had to find out about. Why? She knew how to praise the Lord. She knew how to worship. The Lord commends marriage. Where was the very first place? You'll find this in my wedding ceremony. Where was the very first place that Jesus done his very first miracle? Well, he done it at the marriage in Cana, didn't he? He commends. Listen, if he didn't commend marriage, I don't believe he'd have been doing his first miracle down there. You remember when he turned the water into wine? And by the way, that was non-alcoholic. I've done proved all that. You can get the CD or listen to it online. Amen? Now listen, there are some who will forbid marriage. 1 Timothy chapter 4, forbidding to marry. I told about some will depart from the faith in the latter days. And you come down to verse 3, and it says, forbidding to marry and the commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created and received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Hey, listen, God said marriage is good. If you want to get married, get married. A man obtains the favor of God, finds a good thing, and puts us together and makes one out of us. You say, what's that got to do with the ruination of our family? You got to stay with me. God loves the home. If God loves the home, don't you think you ought to love your home? I'm not talking about your house. I'm talking about your home. Hey, daddies, you ought to love your children and love your wife. Hey, wives, you're to love your husband and love your children, and children are to love mom and dad. Amen. Hey, even in the book of Titus, it says for the older ladies to teach the younger ladies how to love their husband and to love their children. I love that verse. You know why the older ladies have to teach the younger ladies to do that? To teach them to love. Most of the time I just talk about their children, but it actually does say to love their husband. Because sometimes we can be hard to love. And so I got Brother Jeff to grin up here, amen, when I said that. We can be tough to love, and sometimes children can be too. You love them, I know you do, but boy, sometimes you just want to pinch their heads off. Well, I'm surprised I didn't get amen every now and again. Amen, brother, thank you. I had to hold up a cue card for it. You know that Christ, the Apostle Paul, uses marriage as the relationship between him and the church. Take your Bible and go to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Now I'm preaching on the sin of our nation, the destruction of the family, but we have to start with the family. Ephesians chapter 5. Look in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. So notice what he said. He says, husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So he uses that relationship there. He said he is the Savior of the body. He is our Savior today. Amen. Hey, Christ Jesus the Lord is the one who saved us. Amen. Listen, he is also the one who watches over us and keeps us. Thank God for that. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So you're under subjection, and that to your husband. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So we see the love that Christ has for the church. It was a sacrificial love, one that he came without even being asked to come. Listen, and that is how the husband is to love his wife. Amen. The relationship between us and Christ is described as marriage. And we will be married to him as the church one day after a while. Would you not say that marriage is important today? Do you not think that the Lord, and I'm just hitting the high spots, but would you not think that the Lord believes that marriage is important? And I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want you to understand something. The world does not believe that marriage is important. People are just, and I'll deal with this tonight, but might deal with it here in a minute. Might deal with it now. Hey, listen, people believe that, well, preacher, we're just going to try it for a while. We're just going to live together for a while, make sure that we're all. Well, we're going to get married, preacher. Well, then why not go ahead? Well, we want to make sure that we're compatible. Then you don't need to be living together. You need to be praying. Amen. I mean, that's what you need to teach your children to do, moms and dads, is when they get to the age where they want to marry and they're looking for a mate, you need to teach them how to get on their knees and begin to seek God and give them scripture as to who they need to be looking for. Amen.
Amen.
It is important. St. Corinthians said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That works in everything. You know, that works in marriage, works in business. Works in everything. I want you to take your Bibles. I was studying this. I come across what Nehemiah done. I'd about forgot what Nehemiah done. Take your Bible and go to the book of Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah chapter 13. Well, they'd got to not pay. They was marrying whoever they wanted to. The children of Israel were. Nehemiah 13. Nehemiah's after coming back out of bondage, you know. And he's went and built the wall. Nehemiah 13. Look in verse 23, Nehemiah 13, verse 23. I like Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a man's man. He was a man of God. But he trusted God, worked for God. But look, watch in verse 23. In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. They had married outside of their tribe. Not only outside their tribe, but they had married outside of the people of Israel. You remember what Abraham told his servant to do for Isaac? He said, you go back and you get somebody from my place back there. We're not letting Isaac marry somebody from over here. So he sends, was it Eleazar, sends him back over there and goes down there to that watering hole, to that well, and said, Lord, if a woman comes by and draws water and then says, let me draw water for you too, that'll be her. And he had no more got over there, and that happened, and that's Miss Rebecca, you know. And God worked all that. Why, Eleazar got to praying. Abraham had some convictions about who he wanted his son and that to marry. You ought to have some convictions about who your children marry, friend. You say, well, it's their life. Hey, friend, get involved in their life. Well, they won't be involved. Then you're going to let them ruin it if you ain't careful. I ain't saying pick their maid. I ain't saying bow down. Hey, I'm telling you, just try how to love on them and instruct them. Amen. And let me, hey, young'uns, look at me now. Let them help you. They do know some things that you don't know, friend. They've been there where you have not. That statement used to aggravate me all the time. But you know what I found? It's true. It's true. They've seen things, been places, done things that you have no idea about. And they're just trying to watch over you. In those days, verse 23, also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, Ammon, and of Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak in the Jews' language. They'd got so far out there, they didn't know how to talk like a Jew should. Hey, listen, you let your children get so far from God, they won't know nothing about God. Amen. But according to the language of each people, watch Nehemiah right here in verse 25. And I contended with them. Nehemiah said, I got right with them. You think he really got right with them? Watch this right here. He said, I contended with them and cursed them. And smote certain of them. And plucked off their hair. He jumped astraddle of them. Beat the snot out of them. And pulled their hair out. Now that's just me talking. But that's what I read. And he even cursed at them while he was doing it. Ain't that what your Bible says? I don't think he used bad language, but I think he was letting them know how he felt. I'd say he cursed them by God. But he said, and made them swear by God, saying, you shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons, and for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Nehemiah just got right with them, didn't he? Why are you doing what you're doing? You know where the destruction of the home starts at? When the home starts wrong. Now I'm glad that homes that start wrong can finish right. Amen. God can, you know, God can take two lost people that and get married, and he can get them both saved. And that home can finish right. And God can have a home that starts wrong and take it. And boy, they can get right with God and get him in the middle. And it'll work out. And God will make it work to the end. But I'm telling you, when you'll let that thing start right with him in the middle of it, serving him. Hey, listen, there's no sweeter time and fellowship in a home than like that. But he said, be ye not unequally yoked together. He even used Solomon, the wisest king in the world until Jesus came. Ain't that what the Lord tells us himself? He said, but did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin in all this? The wisest man in the world got took down by them outlandish women. What was it he had? Did he have 700 wives and 300 concubines? Is that right? Or 300 wives? I believe it was 700 wives and 300 concubines. Had 1,000 women. I don't know how he done it. I got one. That's enough. Amen. I love mine. But the home. You know, inside of marriage is where children are to be. You know, God wants homes to have children. Take your Bible and go to Psalms 127. Y'all ought to know what Psalms 127 is. Psalms 127. People's having children outside of the home, outside of the marriage bounds. Listen, it ain't made to be that way. But Psalms 127, verse 3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. He said, look, children are heritage. They're a reward. They're a great thing. He said in Proverbs 17, he said, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Them two back there is just great, ain't they, Brother Jeff? Children's children. I'm watching them right now. Man, they're just great to watch. You got another and it's downstairs. And man, he talked all through Sunday school. And I loved it. I did. I just loved to hear him chatter and carry on and talk. And I hear Silas is starting to sing bluegrass. You're starting to sing bluegrass. And he's just a grinning from ear to ear right now. Yeah, that's right. Huh? Yeah, listen. Listen, children are a great thing. Children are to be inside of the home, though. Listen, 1 Timothy 5 said, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, giving an occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Listen, as children come along, so do great blessings, but so do great trials in the home. Can I tell you that the Lord gave an order to the home? Did He not give an order to the home? Now, and I know that I've had to deal with some things first before we can get to the ruination of it. But listen, the Lord gave an order to the home. First of all, it needs Jesus in the center of it. Can I tell you, if you'll get Jesus in the middle of your home, you've got to have Him in the middle of your heart and get Him in the middle of your home. I believe it'll work. I believe love will be there. I believe joy will be there. I believe care will be there. I'm telling you right now, I believe my wife cares for me, friend. I may be wrong. She may be putting on show, but I don't believe she is. After almost 25 years, I believe she has to love me to stay with me this long. People say, well, preacher, we just fell out of love. Dumbest thing I ever heard. Dumbest thing. Listen, I love my wife more than anything in this whole world. Try me sometime if you don't believe me. Love her more than anything. But you know that me and her stood before the preacher and before God and before witnesses that were assembled, and we promised to love and to cherish one another in sickness and in health. In rich, for richer or poor, and boy, we've seen both times of that, ain't we? Amen. For richer or poor, what is it? Sickness. What did I tell y'all? Sickness and in health, for richer or poor. Can't remember the rest of it. Those were the two important ones. You remember them? You remember them? Amen. He remembers them. Listen, it don't matter. Hey, listen, did you know that me taking those vows right there was important? It's more important to me now probably than it was almost 25 years ago. It's more important. Why? I've learned some things. I've learned some things along the way. But a home has an order to it. So it starts with a husband and a wife. And then the children come along. And so we learned in Ephesians chapter 5 how that the husband or dad is to be the head. He said, a wife, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. Don't make you, listen, it don't make you second rate. Ladies, don't misunderstand me at all. But I know what the book says. And the book says the husband is to be the head of the wife. So you know how it is in my home. That's how it is. My wife is submissive. I'm the head. And I love her. I try my best to love her as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Amen. That's the order. Listen, it is the husband, then the wife, and then the children. Amen. That's the order in the home. That's the way that it is to be alone. Listen, dad is to work. Mom is to run the home. If you don't believe that, read Proverbs 31 sometime. Well, we've got a problem in independent Baptist churches. Listen, where ladies have become second-rate Christians and where they cannot do anything, except have babies. And daddy won't even help in that. But listen today, hey, there's more for wives to do and moms to do than just that right there. Go read Proverbs 31 sometime about the virtuous woman, Miss Far Above Rubies. I do think moms ought to be at home. I do. I believe that. I know you can't. I understand that. And I know that we're set up on a two paycheck system. But I'm going to be honest with you. If you'll pray and seek God, you can figure some things out. Me and my wife's been doing that for about a year now, trying to figure some things out. Trying to get some direction on how to do some things with her not working. Or at least at what she's doing now. But that is to work. That's the order of the home. If a man's too lazy to work, the Bible said that he's worse than an infidel, ain't it? Dad's to work. It's your responsibility to raise your children. Right? Amen. Train up a child in the way to go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Deuteronomy chapter 4, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and to thy sons' sons. He said, not only teach them to you children, but teach them to your grandchildren. I'm going to say it again. It is not the federal government's responsibility to train your children. They're going to do a horrible job at it, friend. It's just not. I know that I went through public school. My wife went through public school. We've got young adults that went through public school, older folk went, and some in public school right now. And I know that some homes cannot, you can't change that fact. That's just how it is. But if there's any way for you to raise your children at home, that's the best way to do it. You may not agree with that, but I really believe that book teaches us that. It's not for nobody else to have control of your children but you. You need to train them. You need to teach them. They're going to learn enough bad stuff once they get in the world. And the sooner they get there, the more they're going to learn. I believe I hit a stump there. It's your responsibility. Ephesians 6 said, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture." You bring them up. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 20, some of my most favorite scripture. We find King Jehoshaphat coming up against three different countries. And one thing, they're all standing out there before God. And here's what it said in verse 13. "And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children." So they not only had the husband and the wife, and not only had their grown children there, or maybe their partially grown children, but they had their little ones out there. You know how your children are going to learn to worship God? You're going to have to put them in the worship service. You're going to have to train them up. I understand. Hey, listen, I understand there's times they need to go downstairs or they might need to go outside. I understand all that. Listen, but I'm just saying there comes a time you need to bring them to worship. They need to learn to worship. They need to learn how to sit still and listen. I've always had a problem sitting still. Well, I'm a mover. And now if I sit down and say, listen, I was in camp meeting not too long ago. Maybe, it's been a little while back. By the time I heard the eighth preacher, y'all think I'm long, man. Imagine if you had to sit through eight preachers. And it was all good. It's all good. All the preaching was good. But man, I'm telling you, by the eighth preacher, my sleep apnea had kicked in and I was a dozing off. I mean, I fell asleep on him twice while he was preaching. It was about 5 o'clock in the evening. We started at about 9:30 in the morning and broke for lunch, you know. And I fell asleep. And so when they were calling the ninth preacher to the podium, I got up and left. I was going to go to sleep on him too. But you know what? You need to bring your children to worship. They need to learn how to worship. They need to learn what it's all about. Hey, too many are shipping them off out to something else. Something else. I'm not against. Listen, they just need to come to worship. They need to come to worship. Can I tell you that it's your. I'm talking about the order of the family. That's also your place to correct your children. He said, "Foolishness is bound the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." He said, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spire for his crying." Why do you say chastening while there is hope? Because there comes a point where there ain't no hope. Once they get so old, it don't matter how much correction you give them, it ain't going to help them. Some of you have seen kids like that. I don't think we got any children in here in the church like that. I don't. But they just had their way while they were little. They ruled the home. They controlled the home. And so when they got older, they thought they still run the home and controlled the home. He said, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell." So he said there is a time for correction. Y'all know what I feel about that. Hey, listen, you got to train a child first. Right? I mean, the first time that kid does wrong, you don't snatch it up by the arm and commence to beating the fire out of it. Well, no, you train it, friend. And a lot of people think that he's training. No, that's punishment. It's like a buddy of mine. When his boy is married now, but when he was little, and I think I've told y'all this story. He was over at his papa's farm. His papa had an electric fence. And he told his daddy, he said, "I'm going to touch that electric fence." And his daddy said, "Son, you don't want to do that. Don't do that." So it rolled on for a minute or two. I'm going to touch that electric fence. Don't do that. It's going to hurt you. Finally, about that third time, he said, Daddy, I'm going to touch that fence. And his daddy said, all right, touch that fence. He came back to him and he said, Daddy, I ain't going to do that no more. Sometimes the form of correction is not always what you think. He learned a hard lesson right there. I've touched that same electric fence that was wrapped up in tape, but yet it had been raining, and that thing's hot enough that it was biting me through the tape. Had a rubber piece on it and then wrapped up, but it was raining, and I pushed down on it, and it bit the far out of me. I can imagine touching that thing with nothing around it. But the home, I'm not going to be able to finish it. But the home is important. There's an order to the home. It starts out with the husband and the wife that God puts together. I told somebody the other day, I said, look, I said, I'd have knocked that feller out. I said, I just knocked him out cold. He said, preacher, you're not to be a brawler. I'm not to be a brawler, and I understand that. But I said, I'm not going to let somebody talk about my wife either. I said, I don't even talk about my wife. And I be if I'm going to let somebody else talk about my wife. He said, preacher, you ain't supposed to be that. Maybe I ain't supposed to be that, but I'm telling you how I am. I've told you as many times, there's three things you don't mess with. You don't mess with my wife, you don't mess with my Bible, and you don't mess with my food. I mean, it's them three things, man. That's it. The home should be important to you. Do you know that the home is important to the Lord? He's gave us, and I've just hit the high spot today, but it's just been one direction after another through Scripture. You'll find the home is mentioned one right after another. And if it is important to the Lord, it ought to be important to us. Now let me ask you this question before I get ready to close. If it's important to God, how important do you think it is to Satan to destroy it? What was the very first thing he tried to do over there in the garden? Well, you say he's getting Adam and Eve to sin. Yeah, he was getting Adam and Eve to sin. But what was he doing? He was destroying, trying to destroy the one very thing that God had created, which was the home. Can I tell you today, if you let Satan work his way in, and I'm going to say some things right here that I'm going to repeat myself again tonight. If you'll let him work his way in, he'll get in there and he'll ruin your home. He'll get the husband against the wife and the wife against the husband, and y'all won't say I'm sorry or you won't forgive. Well, preacher, you don't know what she done or what he done. I'm just not going to forgive them. You think that's right? I'm just saying, look, God instituted this thing. He wants to be right in the middle of it. And maybe that's the whole problem today. Maybe he's just not in the middle of your home. Maybe he's not in the middle of it. When he gets in the middle of it, he'll fix it. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning, if we would, across the house.